I'm Dane Young with UGASports.com, along with my friend Brent Rollins from Pro Football Focus and UGASports.com, bringing you a special episode where we are trying to determine, can JT Daniels, Georgia's quarterback, win the Heisman Trophy? And if you look at the odds, he is up there pretty high in those. Brent, how are you doing?
Good. Summer is going well. Very busy. A lot busier than normal, I think, with kids now in high school and rising ninth grader and an eighth grader who are doing a lot of summer sports. But other than that, ready for football season.
Yeah, youth football never stops for a coach like you. So I know your brain has been in schemes and learning, and that happens for at all different levels. One thing we do want to kind of begin with is identify the parameters of recent Heisman Trophy winners. We think that that can help inform and predict the future of who's most likely to win a Heisman Trophy. So if you're watching along with us on YouTube, I'm going to share my screen, and that will guide us a little bit further as I try to find. There we go. If you're just listening to the podcast feed, let's apologies. I'm making sure I have the right thing pulled up here. There we go. You see this, Brent?
Yep.
Okay, so this is our recent Heisman Trophy winners. I will say them aloud just for the audio-only people. Most recently, Devontae Smith from Alabama. As many Georgia fans know, a one-time Georgia commit. That's a little salt in the wound, I'm sure. There was Joe Burrow in 2019, quarterback from LSU. 2018 was Kyler Murray from Oklahoma. Also from Oklahoma, 2017, Baker Mayfield. I think the outlier in this group is Lamar Jackson in 2016, the team that was not in playoff contention, a guy that really just had the stats that you could not turn away from voting him number one,
In
although there
both running and throwing for him.
absolutely. But I will say, along with in this era with Lamar Jackson and in the previous year with Derrick Henry in 2015, there were a couple of years where Deshaun Watson had really valid arguments where he could have taken home two Heisman trophies, ends up with zero. 2014, Marcus Mariota. 2013, Jameis Winston. I think that's probably where this modern era with the playoff probably begins, is around that 2013, where we start thinking, okay, as teams need to be higher up in rankings to get a Heisman Trophy. Because if you go back further than that, you're getting Johnny Manziel with Texas A&M. They were never in contention for a title. Robert Griffin III with Baylor. They were a top 10 team, but again, not in contention for a title. Before that, it's almost like a different era of college football. So the primary area that I focus on is Jameis Winston to DeVonta Smith.
I think that's appropriate, and especially and even the last when you look at the last 5 years, you have all first round picks, and three of those were number one overall picks.
Right.
You know, so that's telling you as much as anything where the trend where the game has gone.
So primarily in the last 8 years, we're looking at six quarterbacks, one running back, and one wide receiver. The main argument that I would make in terms of the Heisman Trophy is that it's more difficult than ever for a running back to win that award.
Yes, 100%. The game is passing driven, and because now the better teams are having the better quarterbacks, and those quarterbacks are putting up stats, the running back part of that has suffered. I mean, Alabama with Henry was a unique one, but yes, I would agree that, and even as colleges don't really, they've kind of gone more to the NFL two back type system, and they don't just lean massively heavily on one guy. That also has impacted it greatly.
And if there was a running back that would be able to win it would be someone like Najee Harris at Alabama last season, and it was his teammate DeVonta Smith that ends up winning it. I think even though running backs are less likely than ever to win it, at least from recent memory, I think we can say that it's more likely that receivers can work their way to be involved in that game. Because in a normal season, or traditionally based on this list, it would have been Mac Jones as the Heisman winner. But it was DeVonta Smith, and that is a very unique outlier to me, one that I'm curious to see if it's a precedent for the future.
And you notice, and the biggest thing there was you had Waddle go down. Mac was consistently great throughout, but you had Waddle go down, and Smith still, he even further elevated his game, put up more numbers once Waddle went down. And I think that kind of that vaulted him in a very unique year. And plus, it was there's at some point, maybe somebody gets tired of quarterbacks just winning the whatever year and be like, hey, I can give it to a different guy. Sure, go for it.
The other thing that you look at this and you say, all right, of these previous eight, I only see the one in Lamar Jackson that wasn't in playoff contention or national championship contention.
Legit in the playoff.
Absolutely. So to me, that says you have to be on a team that's competing for a title. It's not enough to be on a top 10 team. You need to be top four, at minimum, I think top six, where you're in the hunt to get in that conversation. So that's kind of where I want to shift this a little bit. And I'm changing my page here to national championship odds according to sportsbetting.ag. There's a ton of different books out there that have different odds. Right now, Alabama would be the favorite according to this site. Clemson up there, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Georgia. That top five, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Georgia. I think if you ask anyone that covers college football, and probably most fans too, they would agree that those five programs are the healthiest and most likely to make it into a Final Four. I would imagine if you can find any kind of odds on that, they wouldn't be very good in terms of getting some money out of it, saying that the four playoff teams would come from those five. So do you agree with that assessment that those five programs are probably the top of the heap in college football?
That, and when you think about, in the end, betting, the odds makers always know what they're doing. There's a reason those numbers are what they are. And the drop from five to six is a big one in terms of, from a betting perspective. And, you know, you just look at a whole next group. If you go from LSU down to Oregon, like that next six teams, you know, they're flipping a coin in terms of this team. This is a bundle here, and then we odds further down another bundle. But these five are head and shoulders the overwhelming favorite. And I would actually, this year specifically, agree with that sentiment.
And for the listeners, only Georgia on this list is fifth in terms of favorite to win the national championship at plus 700. Again, that's going to change based on multiple things. We saw the line move a little bit when George Pickens got injured. We saw it move again with the additions of Arik Gilbert and Darion Kendrick. So there are things that can happen between now and then. This is just as we're recording this on June 22nd, what it's like now. So here's what I wanted to do, Brent. Let's go team by team beyond those top five, beyond Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Georgia. And I just want your gut reaction. Can this team, based on what we know now, and again, things change, injuries happen, players emerge, it's college football, it's one reason we like it is the unpredictability. But do you see them having a realistic shot of getting to the Final Four? I'm not saying have a path there. I mean, I think a team like Penn State has a path to the national championship just because of the schedule and the conference. But I'm saying a legitimate shot based on the information that we know. So let's start with LSU.
Yes, 100%. They return one, if not two, you know, two, one or two, you know, whoever's going to start at quarterback for them. They return a quarterback, new defensive coordinator, elite talent at cornerback, a few, you know, one elite receiver, and a lot of other talent that we know they have offensively. Yes, they can.
I agree with you. Staying in the SEC, Texas A&M.
A&M's the interesting one because I think if you look at everything outside of the quarterback position, yes, you would say 100% yes, that they could win the West and even be in the SEC championship, but you don't know about the quarterback position for them. One guy has played that position entirely for the past 4 years. So until you see that, yeah, it's in the air to me.
The other thing is Jimbo Fisher's offensive system is not really one that lends itself to flashy offensive playmakers. It's a bit more conservative. Obviously, it worked at Florida State, and Jameis Winston won a Heisman, so I don't want to say it's not possible, but I'm saying it's a bit more old-school football. Let's get a couple tight ends. I don't see
Texas A&M. A tight end is their best offensive player. Well, they have three really good – and that's when you look at Texas A&M from a talent perspective, with Anaya Smith, Isaiah Spiller, and Jalen Widermeyer, the tight end, they have three legit – like high-level prospects in terms of the draft on the offensive side of the ball. A-Chain, that's the running back, they have legit talent everywhere. But you see what they have for the quarterback position, you know.
I guess we'll call that a maybe.
Yes.
I think we're kind of hedging on them.
They're deserving of being in that group.
The surprise on this list to me, Texas in that same group with the same odds as Texas A&M.
Bettors must love Sark. They must think he's going to work some instantaneous miracles because I can't remember the what I'd seen in terms of a number, but looking at, oh, I know what it was. They, once they were in the discussion about the playoff and expanding it to 12, they looked, somebody had done a look back at the past decade of playoffs, of who had been in the playoffs if it had been 12. And guess who wasn't there? Texas. Yeah. In the past decade, wouldn't have been in the top 12. And now they might win the championship? No, I think that's a bit of a stretch.
I agree with you. I don't see it with Texas. Maybe in a year. I could see that happening if Sark really comes in and revolutionizes the offense, but I don't see it right now. Back to the SEC, the Florida Gators.
I don't see that from the standpoint. I just think their overall talent level. I think while Mullen's coaching and his offensive system is proven to be, you know, a point scoring system, I don't think their overall talent lends itself to, you know, being 12-1 in the playoff type contention. I think they're going to still stumble. And plus their schedule is, they have Alabama and LSU this year, plus Georgia. So, you know, their schedule is not a lot of fun this year.
And replacing so many playmakers on offense. That's going to be tough for Dan Mullen. Florida always has playmakers on the edge, but you don't replace a Kyle Pitts. It just doesn't happen. Next on this list is Iowa State.
Interesting with this is the most interesting team for me in this group because of they've just been on this continual rise, and they have a quarterback who's now a four-year starter in Brock Purdy, and one guy who, when we look at these Heisman odds, might be a sort of sleeper if this team elevates itself. I think they're a death, you know, in that sort of maybe category. But the thing with the Big 12 for me is always those teams always find a way to beat one another at some point in time, because they obviously the conference, you play each other every year. There's not just such a gap in talent like Oklahoma has, where that I don't know that Iowa State's there. They would have to play absolutely perfect all year to find themselves into the playoff hunt.
I agree that would probably be a maybe. I don't really see it happening, if I'm being quite honest. That's saying that they would have gotten by Ohio State at that point. And just the talent level is so different. Is it possible? Sure. It's also possible that, you know, Alabama loses to Missouri in a random game. That is possible. It's also very unlikely. And I just don't see that happening. Next on this list is Oregon. I think that is an interesting team just because of the conference, one that's been underrepresented in the playoff hunt.
Yes. And they have talent, and they've recruited at a very high level recently, you know, number one type player. Kayvon Thibodeau is a guy that is just going to be an absolute game wrecker for them. You know, what do they get at quarterback with Anthony Brown? The Pac-12 is, to me, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are just so similar because the talent level is not so distinctly different that they're always going to end up stumbling once or twice to me. Mm-hmm.
North Carolina, an interesting team, because we know that if you start projecting ahead to first round picks for quarterbacks in the NFL in 2022, Sam Howell's name pops up. So does that mean that he'll also pop up in the Heisman odds?
Yeah, I think you're definitely going to see him up there in terms of Heisman odds. But did lose all, you know, both running backs, receivers are gone. You know, got a lot of replacement in terms of the weapons part of that for them. But, you know, if they have a great season and find themselves with a chance to win the ACC at the end and a chance to beat Clemson in the end, maybe. But them and then the rest of this group down, there's just way too many, I guess, crazy things has to happen for this, you know, this group lower to be in a true national championship type hunt. To
me. Yeah, and this group, hunt. The most notable that I haven't mentioned so far, I would say Notre Dame. Just because history of making it into the playoff. But again, there is some Notre Dame fatigue because of the performances yes. In the playoff. USC, again, that to me, USC and North Carolina, very similar spots where you're not the favorite to win your conference. You have a quarterback that's going to be in the first round pick discussion next season. So maybe Slovis is good enough to get in the Heisman race. I don't see USC having the horses to last a full season and avoid one or two upsets along the way, and I think their margin for error would be very slim based on the reputation in recent years.
Yes, I would agree.
The other two are in the state of Florida, Miami. Derek King is very high on Oz for Heisman. Again, I don't see Miami kind of the same spot as North Carolina. Could they step up and beat a Clemson? Sure, maybe. Could they do it twice? I definitely don't think that's the case. And the last I would say, and I don't even really see them on this list so far, would be someone like a UCF.
Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati, if you're looking at non-Power Five in terms of possibilities, they're going to start the season ranked pretty high, and I think that's going to help them with Ritter returning and a lot of other talent that they have returning. But the rest of that group, it's not happening.
All right, so
at least not from a national championship perspective.
As far as I see, we added two teams, and then if you want to have North Carolina in, they're fine. But Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU, Oregon, and maybe North Carolina. I really don't see North Carolina making a title run for sure. Could they make the playoff, I guess? It sounds like you think they don't have the playmakers to probably get that far.
I don't foresee that, no.
All right, so that means that whole exercise, we started with five teams, we added two. And I don't believe in Oregon in terms of a national scale. It's more just because of the scheduling conference.
I agree.
All right, so if you agree with that, we can cross off Oregon a little bit too, just for this exercise. The only team we added was LSU. So this is, I think, where this gets fun. Let's go back and show these Heisman winners one more time. So we're talking quarterbacks, and we're talking a standout wide receiver that doesn't share a ton of the load. And that's going to have to be very small and isolated. So if we go back to the Heisman odds, as we have listed right now, the three or four that you see at the top, it tends to be a three that have separated themselves just based on odds makers. Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma, Bryce Young, quarterback at Alabama, DJ Uiagalelei, quarterback at Clemson. If you were just picking, I'm not saying based on odds or anything right now, but if you were just picking most likely player in your eyes to win the Heisman Trophy, as we discuss this on June 22nd, who would it be?
It would be Rattler. I mean, and obviously he's at the top, and it's easy pick to make because he's at the top. But I just feel this season that Oklahoma, because of a lot of the additions they've made in the transfer portal and just their overall talent, especially defensively, now they have some talent. I think they're just going to roll through the Big 12. And obviously, you know, as we've seen with past Oklahoma quarterback, the numbers are going to be there. He's going to put up video game type numbers. I mean, when you look at Baker in 17, he was at 70% completion, 4,600 yards, 43 touchdowns. Kyler, 69%, 4,400 yards, 42 touchdowns in addition to all the running stuff. Rattler, to me, is going to have those type of numbers, and that's going to put you in the square point. And that's why he's the favorite.
Sure. I would probably go Uiagalelei, and some of that's just because I've been more impressed with the – it's a small sample size. Trust me, I get it. He's played virtually two games of college football. But I just liked what I saw in terms of overall ability from him.
Oh, he has number one pick written all over him.
More so, I think
– not next year, but the following year.
The ability, sure, but he didn't make as many mistakes as most true freshmen do. And I see Rattler throwing a decent amount of interceptions, and so – I definitely think that there'll be more opportunities for Rattler to put up big numbers, but I also think there's more opportunities for him to make some of the mistakes that become critical when you start parsing the numbers here.
Will be fascinating is looking at these odds right now, you know, sort of screenshotting it, and then on September, whatever it is, after Georgia plays Clemson, and how those odds change based upon the outcome of that game. Because that game, to me, will swing a lot of these odds and put one of those two guys directly at the lead in the conversation because it's week one.
I'm writing down the quarterbacks here for each of the teams that we've talked about. And they're all up here on this list if you're watching on YouTube as well. But just for my purposes, we're looking at Bryce Young, Alabama, DJ Uiagalelei, Clemson, JT Daniels, Georgia. We've got C.J. Stroud, Ohio State, and Spencer Rattler, Oklahoma. If we're adding LSU to this group, from everything that I'm hearing, it's Max Johnson that will be the starter. I don't know if that sticks. There is Brennan out there.
Brennan
was
really good. Brennan was really good in this small sample that he had a year ago before he got hurt.
Frankly, I think a Brennan would have a better chance to win a Heisman Trophy because I like his deep throws better than Johnson. Frankly, I don't think either of them would win the Heisman Trophy. You don't see their names on here. But it does bring up an interesting point. Those top five teams that we've talked about are the most healthy programs. It's worth it to take a look at their backup quarterbacks. If you just want to have some insane odds and you can get someone to take the bet, maybe someone like a Caleb Williams at Oklahoma.
If
something were to happen to Radley, if he were to get injured. We've heard great things about Williams. You look at Georgia, I don't see as much there if it's Carson Beck or even a Brock Vandergriff, Stetson Bennett. I don't see any of those guys, especially this season, winning a Heisman. That's not projecting anything forward. In terms of, you just start looking at backups, if there were going to be a backup at one of those top five teams that would have a chance should injury occur, I think Oklahoma is probably the best shot there.
Yes, I would agree.
So, you know, I think Caleb Williams, if you had $20 and you had someone that just wanted to give you odds on that, yeah, I would think that would be a 10,000-to-1 kind of thing.
It would be up there in terms of odds, that's for sure.
Otherwise, do you see any receivers from these 16 that you would – I think if you look at Alabama, you're talking John Mechie.
Yes, and the one that I think of with all these is Ross, is Justin Ross coming back for Clemson, if he's able to, and if he's, you know, starts game one, and, you know, say he has 180 yards receiving and 2 or 3 touchdowns in that first game against Georgia, that puts him in square into this conversation.
And that would be
Ohio State has too many. They have too many good ones. I mean, Olave, Wilson, like they have too many good ones for one to stand out.
And I think with Pickens out, Georgia's in that same boat.
Yes. They're gonna be spread the ball. They're gonna have a bunch of guys, much like Florida was a year ago. As great as Pitts was, he didn't have. I mean, he had 800 yards or so receiving. It wasn't like he put up monster numbers because they spread the wealth so much. And I think that's what Georgia is going to be offensively, where you have a lot of guys producing as opposed to 2 or 3 singular, or 2 or 3, you know, head and shoulders above from a statistic standpoint.
So if we're looking for the dominant receiver with numbers, my brain goes to Kayshon Boutte at LSU because he was virtually unstoppable, even with their rotating quarterbacks at the end of last season. So if you were looking for a potential Devontae Smith, I think the most likely candidate would be Kayshon Boutte.
I think you're right there. Unless somebody from Ohio State, like Olave, you know, somebody gets hurt and then Olave starts having just insane numbers week in and week out, that would be another. And Ross, we've already mentioned.
And I don't think it's worth it to mention, but if you were looking just individual talent at a position, I don't think a Derek Stingley is good enough, consistent enough to go get his name in a Heisman race or anything like that.
But no, he'd have an interception every week, multiple touchdown returns, a punt return touchdown, that kind of thing.
And they're not going to have him on kick return. There's no reason for that. So, you know, if you're looking at that, you're looking at quarterbacks plus, you know, the 6 quarterbacks we talked about plus Boutte and Ross. So here's the ultimate question, because it's the title of this video here on our YouTube channel and our podcast feed. Can JT Daniels win the Heisman Trophy?
Yes, but. and the but for me is you're going to have to do things from a pass play percentage and how you operate offensively that you necessarily haven't done in the past to push his numbers into a different stratosphere. Because even if you look at his 4-game sample from a season ago, 67% completion, a little over 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Obviously, if you extrapolate that out times 3, you're looking at a right around 3,700 yards, 30 touchdowns, 6 picks. That's not getting you into the Heisman conversation. That's getting you into the undefeated or, you know, possibly undefeated, really good playoff contention, but it's not necessarily putting you square in that. Unless he goes and puts up 4 hundo and, you know, 4 TDs against Clemson, and then some of those numbers, you know, maybe level off a little bit as the season starts to move on. But if he has – that's, and that's why I thought earlier that snapshot pregame and then after that first game with George and Clemson, if one of those guys has an absolutely monster game in addition to their team winning, I think that puts one of those two as 1B to the 1A because of Rattler and the numbers that he's going to put up.
I think yes, but is such a good answer. And but my reasoning's a bit different, and I think you'll agree with it, though. I think it's that the expectation on Daniels is a bit unfair based on his production at this point. He did not play the best teams in his four games last season. It's going to be a bit of a different road. He's at without his top receiver, although the talent around him is unquestioned. I think the expectations on JT Daniels are a bit unfair for what we have seen at this point. Can he surpass those and become a Heisman winner? Absolutely. But I think at this stage, it's as much because he is the quarterback at Georgia, a team that has a chance to make the playoff, just the same that it would be for CJ Stroud, because he is the quarterback at Ohio State. It's not because he's
never seen him play it down.
Right. But to me, I would view those on the same playing field that, you know, the quarterback for those six teams is going to have a shot to get in the Heisman hunt. A bit of an
easy shot for
other people. So, you know, I'm looking at eight guys here, and you think Rattler is probably the most likely. I would probably say Uiagalelei. I would be surprised if JT Daniels ends up in the Heisman ceremony as a finalist for that award. And that's not a shot against him. I think he's a good quarterback. I think that he can do a lot of good things at Georgia with the, you know, supporting cast that is there. I just need to see, one, that you were saying that the offense is going to be so pass heavy that his numbers warrant that. But two, I need to see him against some of that more elite competition more regularly. And that only happens when the football season gets here and we stop talking about it and actually get new content.
And a lot of the expectations, I think, are, and we've kind of driven some of that because we showed, you know, in some of the film, the live pieces, the layups that were created by Todd Monken a season ago offensively, and even in a, you know, COVID shortened season, new QB, all the issues that Georgia had to deal with a season ago, and they still just had open guys after open guys after open guys. I think that helps with that expectation for him that hey, this, you got a coordinator who's going to put your quarterback in a massively great position to succeed.
Agreed. And just overall, one thought on the Heisman race. This is one of the more wide open years that I can remember. You know, last year you felt good that Trevor Lawrence was going to be around. I guess Burrow came from nowhere a couple of seasons ago, but
you still had Tua.
Yeah, for
that round that year.
For the most part, there are people that you think, all right, they've got a pretty good shot to be there at the end. I don't have confidence in any of these people. So let me just say that too, is like, I don't have confidence in JT Daniels to be there at the end. I also don't have confidence in virtually anyone on this list, other than maybe the quarterback at Clemson and Oklahoma because of easier schedules and more opportunities to pass.
Yes. And they're often, both of those offenses are so quarterback heavy in terms of, you know, the statistics and you've just seen it time and time again, and you know, it's going to be there. And like, to me, you can pencil in Clemson as the ACC winner. I would borderline pen or Sharpie that Oklahoma wins the Big 12, you know, barring some other issues. So, but you know, that Ohio State, even Ohio. Now, if you're looking at sleepers, one for me that, you know, if he comes back healthy and has, you know, the dynamic season that he started to have a season ago, was Michael Penix at Indiana. And if they somehow, you know, because the coach is doing really well and their projection, they're moving, you know, at an upward projection as a program. If they somehow just, you know, had a season for the ages and, you know, beat Ohio State and that kind of thing. But I, you know, again, you're asking for something that you would not place money on, probably, for the most part.
Yeah, and once you start heading down that rabbit hole, you can start talking about Willis at Liberty, you know, if his numbers are just off the charts. But again, that's against a different level of competition. Same thing with Dylan Gabriel in Gus Malzahn's offense at UCF. I don't see that being Heisman worthy, but, you know, if it's a wide open field, there's going to be potential for one of those Lamar Jackson years where the numbers just warrant that a Heisman goes somewhere.
From physical traits, like, I like Ritter from Cincinnati a lot. Like, big, strong, athletic, great arm, but he hasn't done it consistently enough as a passer yet to, you know, to that he's going to, you think he's going to elevate and put himself into this conversation. But, you know, maybe he goes and he has a year of, you know, elevates his accuracy big time, his passing numbers go up big time, in addition to what he does with his legs and, you know, sort of from a team leadership standpoint. But it is a very much wide open field. I think the college football and the playoff is very much shrunk to those five teams this year, just because I think the total talent from those teams is going to be much greater than others. But like you said, this, from a Heisman standpoint, this is very much a wide open year.
And two programs to watch, just, I don't think for Heisman this year, but just because of who their head coaches are, Ole Miss and Texas. I would imagine that those two programs are likely to begin to develop quarterbacks that get in the Heisman race more often, similar to what Oklahoma has done. They have to really improve talent elsewhere to make that happen. But could Matt Corral end up in the Heisman final group? Sure. I think that's possible.
Very possible, actually.
Do I think he'll win it? I really doubt
it. And he's somebody we didn't talk about. You know, someone we didn't bring up the entire time, just because of the talent that team, you know, and the sort of the overall part of that team just not being where it needs to be competitive within the SEC West right now. But just from, if, you know, he goes and puts up the numbers that he can, and that offense possibly will, he could very much see himself, you know, as one of the four or five sitting there.
Yeah, and his path would have to be what Lamar's was, just because you don't tend to win the Heisman with a team that went 8-4, 7-5 or something like that. And
right.
That's most likely to be what Ole Miss's future is. But you never know with the SEC West. We're going to wrap this up because I know you have some kid taxiing to do. Any final thoughts on Heisman race? I will say that some of our UGA sports team does have some Las Vegas in our future. So there may be some bets actually being placed. So, well, you know,
tickets will be had.
I at least want to see what the odds are on Butte and Caleb Williams at Oklahoma, just because I'm not one that's going to go bet $1,000 to win $3,000, just because I don't have $1,000 to lose like that. But I'm willing to throw 20 at some crazy odds and try to follow that for the season, because then if I lost,
it's 20, fun.
No big deal.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it fun. I will say the biggest thing, you know, obviously the title of the little deal here is about JT Daniels. I very much like his odds today more than I did a month ago. Having Gilbert in tow, because I think he's going to unlock some things for them offensively that, you know, to help replace the Pickens loss, that, you know, he's going to – JT now is going to put up some even bigger numbers, I think, than possibly he would without him being there.
I think one thing that hurts Daniels, if I go back to the recent quarterbacks that have won, Burrow, Murray, Mayfield, Jackson, Mariota, and if you want to include Winston, fine, but not this point, it doesn't work as well. All those guys could run a little bit. And JT Daniels, he's not going to be mobile enough to put up running numbers. So that means his passing stats have to be so pristine that there's really no way you can't give it to him. And that's just – so little margin for error. If he does that, fine and dandy. He'll have one of those Burrow years where you're one of the best quarterbacks in college football history. But Burrow was a threat on the ground too.
Just think about Mac Jones this season. Mm-hmm. 77% completion, 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, 4 picks, and he didn't win. Like, that's just amazing to me.
But his receiver did. So yeah. You know, maybe that's a team award at that point. And maybe a Georgia receiver steps up and becomes that guy. I doubt that that's the case, just based on what Georgia offenses look like. But I'll tell you, if someone emerges, there'll be enough weapons to kind of cover for them. So you never know.
There's plenty of weapons there. And we've talked about it before. Like, I've even made compared, like, that Burton, you know, from a physical profile and what he did as a freshman, greatly profiles in that Jamar Chase type, you know, look and how he runs routes and the way he does everything that goes about his business. That's going to need to happen. But I will say this. I think if you're a Georgia fan, which most obviously the people that watch this are, you could probably give one iota about JT Daniels winning the Heisman. If you beat Clemson, win the SEC and win it, you know, and are in the playoff and have those things, Heisman, whatever, we're in the spot to win the whole thing. And if that's the case, many probably will not much care.
We're going to wake up in 5 weeks and it will be August. And that means football season will have arrived. SEC media days will be behind us. Talking season, like what we're doing right now, will be over and it will be time for fall camp leading up to that game with Georgia and Clemson. Brent, cannot have a better teammate to do some of this work with. Always a joy to get to work with you on this and learn a little bit in terms of Heisman odds. And if I want a little money off of it around Vegas, maybe I'll have to share a little bit with you. Maybe we'll have
to come back. I'll take it. And go subscribe to the YouTube page, people.
hit subscribe on this. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast feeds. And thank you for following what we do at UGASports.com. For Brent Rollins, I am Dane Young.